Welcome to another episode of the Brown Couch Bruhs. We back again, with another great show today.
With a banger.
But before we get into our show, let's tip it off.
Tip. Always got to do the tip drill. Let's get the show right.
Start with a toast.
Bam, bam.
Let's tip it off. Another great week in sports this week. How's your fantasy league doing?
8-1, baby. That's a funny. It's funny you bring that up, but you know, I let our guests talk about that. 8-1. Look like I'm trending towards a bye week. I really would have had the league locked up if D. Henry went down. I still have a good team, but I had a great team with Derrick Henry. He might come back. So, you know, I'm doing the free agent thing, picking up guys, you know, and scouting the waiver wire. So, but I'm 8-1. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, you're at the top of the league and looking pretty good. I finally got off the snide and won one last week, so I'm 5-4. You know, trying to you know, win a few more to solidify a playoff spot. That's the best I can hope for right now. I could be in worse shape. Like our guest today, I could be in worse shape, but I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty good.
Well, you know, he was wearing a pink shirt. Yeah, I think he off the snide a little bit right now. He got to get into a losing streak, but I think we're going to keep him out of the pink shirt for next year's
draft. He a game away from wearing a pink shirt again this year.
I thought he was like two games. Oh, well, yeah, no, I guess you're right. No, yeah. No. You're back
we,
in.
We'll get to that. Hey, I want to get your take on Odell Beckham being released.
You know what? All 32 teams passed on Odell. When the waiver wire was presented, of course, the Lions had the first option to pick him up. But, you know, the thing about Odell Beckham, he could be a cancer to a lot of teams, you know, with him being who he is, the outgoing player he is. I don't know if he's definitely a talent. You know, I think I read something today where he narrowed it down to Green Bay, Kansas City, and Seattle. So, you know, you definitely have to have some strong leadership in place, particularly at that quarterback position that's going to have to deal with Odell Beckham.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. It's got to be a strong locker room. It's got to be great leadership in that locker room to get a guy like Odell Beckham. You know, the diva tag has been placed on him. There's no question that he's a talented player. But the question now is, well, why did the Giants let him go? Now, why did Cleveland let him go?
Exactly.
And so you're starting to get the tag on him as a cancer, as bad for the program. Mm-hmm. And I hate to see that happen to such a talented guy, especially battling back this year from that injury. You'd like to see him land someplace and land well and play well. Because you know, you have a couple of more bad stops, and now you find yourself out of the league.
Out of the league. It kind of reminds me of T.O., but T.O. was productive every stop he went to. But, you know, the diva tag with the Niners, you know, he kind of played second fiddle to Jerry Rice at that time. Then he went to Dallas, the Cowboys, but he always was productive. And, of course, it led him to that gold jacket and as a Hall of Famer. So, Odell, I mean, you know, it comes a time when you have to humble yourself, particularly with the quarterbacks you're talking about playing with, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers. You get into a locker room like that, now you got to conform to the team. I don't know if I should mention Aaron Rodgers with the team, considering what he's been going through lately, but that's the type of leadership you're gonna need to handle a guy like that in the locker room.
Yeah, those three teams have been named in the reports as potential landing spots for Odell. And what's significant about that is that if he were to go to any one of those three teams,
Super Bowl quarterbacks,
but he won't be the number one option.
Nope.
They already got number one receivers there.
That's where the humility comes in.
Exactly. So how is he going to be able to take being second fiddle? Now, he complained in Cleveland that he wasn't getting the ball, and his dad complained in Cleveland that he wasn't getting the ball. But see, when you line up and with Green Bay or with the Chiefs or with Seattle, you know, you're going to be playing second fiddle to some guys that's getting it done.
And not only that, you playing second fiddle to guys who won. I can't see his dad posting anything negative or derogatory towards Aaron Rodgers, Wilson, or Mahomes. Those guys have won Super Bowls.
They're proven.
They're proven. They're Your proven. Son hadn't proven anything. You know, he had a good year, or he had a great catch. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a couple of thousand-yard seasons with the Giants. But other than that, you know, sometimes you got to humble yourself like your boy did, Antonio Brown.
Yeah, he did.
And now he's coming up a little bit in Tampa because guess what? He got a quarterback that got 6 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, you don't have a lot to
Maybe
say.
Maybe 7.
You're not going to have a lot to say when you're playing against Hall of Fame guys who've won multiple championships like Tom Brady. Unless you're Scottie Pippen and you play with Michael Jordan and you got a lot to say about the guy who's the best guy. You're not Mike, Scottie. You're great, but you're not Mike.
You're not Mike. Right.
Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, both aren't playing right now. Ben Simmons is you know, reported initially to camp, said that he had some mental health issues, that he wanted to see a mental health professional. The team opted to give him provide an opportunity for him to seek mental health attention. He declined it. Now he's accepted it because he doesn't want to lose money. Then you got Kyrie Irving, who refuses to take the vaccine. It is a mandate in the city of New York with that program. Both guys haven't played at all this year. And in the case of Brooklyn, it slowed them down in the beginning. But now they're starting to hit their stride and they're learning to play without Kyrie. Now, no question about it, they need him.
No doubt.
But when you look at Philadelphia, it's almost as if they haven't missed a beat. You got Seth Curry, who's playing extremely well right now. Mm-hmm. And they're rolling. Even without Joel Embiid, they're not looking so bad. And so they're not necessarily missing Ben Simmons right now. I think eventually they will. But my question to you, my brother, who plays first, Kyrie or Ben Simmons?
That's a good question. When you're dealing with that mental health issue, that's serious. Us personally, we know one of our fraternity brothers who was dealing with that, who took his own life a couple of weeks ago. This mental health is not a joke. As it pertains to Kyrie Irving, he said he's doing it for the people. Well, he missing $380,000 a game. So I don't know how long you're going to do it for the people and miss that type of money. I think he's scheduled to make $35 million this year. So if I had to pick and choose, I would say probably Kyrie. Because I don't think Ben wants to play in Philly yet. It's not that Kyrie doesn't want to play in Brooklyn. He wants to play. Ben doesn't want to play in Philly at all. So I will venture to say I will put my money on Kyrie coming back to play before Ben.
Yeah, I think I have to agree. I think at some point, and I'm predicting before Christmas, Kyrie Irving is going to get a shot. Mm-hmm. He's going to be back with the team. I think it's going to be very difficult for Philadelphia to move Ben Simmons because they want, you know, I mean, they want too much coming back. And right now, Ben Simmons is a disgruntled superstar who's afraid to shoot the basketball from 15 feet out, who's afraid to get to the foul line and shoot free throws, who now is looking like a fractured human being. And it's unfortunate for him because he now has his tag on him. But teams are looking at that and they're reluctant to really give Philadelphia anything in return that's of significance.
And then I think his contract, I think the guy signed
4 years left on his deal.
Exactly, still. At about $100 million, $125 million. So you're talking about paying the guy $30, $35 million a year who you don't know is going to show up to play week in and week out. Philadelphia has, and I, like you said, the asking price for him, I think, will be a couple of first-round draft picks. And a player.
And a superstar coming back. And a superstar
coming back. Because the guy is only, what, 24? 23, yep. 24. He's already a multiple all-star guy. He's always been on the defensive first team a couple of years already. So you're going to get some quality coming back with Ben Simmons. It's just a matter of what team want to give up what to get him.
Yep. And so with that, We got our guest.
Got another banger.
Jesse Crowder. Now, we've mentioned this guy on shows
every time we do a podcast,
his name always comes up. So we gave the people what they asked for. Right.
You got Jesse in the building.
Jesse Crowder.
Every time he try to get out, they pull me back in.
They pull me back in.
But listen, before, you know, I mean, I've been knowing this guy, you know, not only, you know, he's our fantasy league football commissioner, but prior to that, you know, just high school, another Henry Ford troll. I'm tapping, man, he goddamn it. Oh, excuse my profanity. We bring these Trojans up in here, man. These guys are winners, man. we brought Johnny Christopher up in here, baseball. We brought Warner Bailey up in here, football. Now we bring Jesse Crowder up here, baseball. Henry Ford winning tradition, Henry Ford Trojans. And here we go. We got another guy, Jesse Crowder.
Man, thank you guys, man. Listen, first and foremost, I got 2 points. This forum that you guys are presenting to hear voices of people who got stories to tell just in the inner city is great. Keep appreciate doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And you guys know I'm a loyal listener.
So, of course.
I'm on it. I'm like, what? Well, was that me? Secondly.
I'm surprised you don't get Google alerts.
Oh, yeah. Secondly, anytime the Fantasy League commissioner doesn't make the playoffs, the league should just be folded in. And I'm on my way to a pink shirt.
You're
so
pink shirt. Right.
I'm gonna get myself out of that. But no, D-Web, again, we've been hanging and banging for a long time. You know, a guy in my wedding.
I was in your wedding.
Everything. And then T, you know, man, I met you, man, top of the line guy. And man, nothing I can say more about you guys, man, than what you guys doing, man. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you being here with us. And now that, you know, you've been mentioned several times on this podcast, we got you here to, you know, I would say to defend yourself. But that's not technically what I mean.
No.
You're here to provide stories and really a perspective that I think the listeners will certainly appreciate about you. And so, just start off telling us, you know, where you from and what neighborhood you grew up in and high school you went to. We already talked about Henry Ford. What brought you to Henry Ford?
Oh, man. Well, you know, well, that was the area I grew up in, man. 7 Mile in Greenfield. From day one, grew up there and just moved through the ranks playing baseball, box ball or strike them out or what they call it, man. And just organizing. But Henry Ford is where my roots are. And, you know, I was a 3-time starter, 2-time captain, 1-time champion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we did well at Henry Ford. And, you know, that catapulted me to other things, you know, off to Tennessee State. And we'll get into that. But, you know, Tennessee State was a ride.
Yeah.
But, you know, Henry Ford was beautiful, man. And, you know, just giving back to the inner city, man, is what Henry Ford did for me, and you know, I like to do for the young people. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of gotten out that game as much as I have, but now I took it to another level as far as donating to the colleges and things of that nature. But yeah, man, that's me in a nutshell, man. I've you know, raised my children, and you know, love the D. You know, I don't love the sports team so much, but I love the D.
And we're going to get into that D.
You got a different G. Right.
You walked in here with this Dallas Cowboys sweatshirt on and this hat. We're going to definitely get into that.
Yeah.
But you were a baseball guy growing up.
Baseball guy, man, from day one, man. It was embedded in me. I did football as well, but I thought baseball was the avenue. I'm a son of a referee. Umpire as well. Mm-hmm. My father did he did baseball, but his passion was football. He did all the high schools. He sent officials to each high school.
Wow.
You know, and so he organized, he had that on lock. He also did the MAC conference. And then he also his crowning moment was doing. And you guys, I don't know, I'm telling my age, but he did the Cherry Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah. The Pontiac Silver. Yeah. So he did the Cherry Bowl. So, you know, so he was, you know.
But let me ask you this, because it sounds like from what I'm hearing, he was a pioneer. You know, I grew up watching Caucasian referees.
Absolutely.
You know, umpiring baseball games, football games, and stuff like that. And I take it that your dad was probably one of the first African Americans, particularly here in the city of Detroit, to assign, not only work them, but was in charge of putting guys in place at different sporting events.
Sporting events, yep, state playoffs, all that through through high school. Mm-hmm, you know, Frank Tanana's dad was also part of that.
Wow. With,
Northwest Detroit.
Frank
Tanana's dad. So he was part of all of that, man. And, you know, I got the, that's when Pal was, and Pal is coming back. Let me say that. Pal is coming back. We got some guys that's doing some good things. Robert Jameson, they doing good things with that.
Yeah, I know Robert. I like him on the show too.
But they doing great things now. But back then, that's when, you know, you knew the police officer, you know, said coming up through Pal, and my father was introducing me to these guys, and they was humongous cats. And I was like, wow, look at this cat. He looked like Carl Weathers. You know, you know what I'm saying? My dad was deep into that, man. And you know, so when I hear about official calls and people complaining, you know, it's never a call that I was like, listen, respect the referee's call. Mm-hmm. It was only one call I ever disagreed with, and that's because Dez caught it. But that's another topic.
Right.
to our listeners who don't know, you talked about PALS, the Police Athletic League. It's a league here in the city of Detroit, been around forever. Mm-hmm. And it really takes, you know, disadvantaged kids and gives them the opportunity to play sports.
Yeah.
And a lot of the police officers were the guys who organized the league and were coaches and mentors for a lot of kids in the city of Detroit. And so a lot of us would not have an opportunity to play sports if it were not for PAL.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, a lot of the officers used to take their time, personal time. Mm-hmm. You know, now, you know, things have changed, and, you know, they really, it's a lot on the officers now. They have to get out and do this. So we ask them, you know, they ask for volunteers now. Mm-hmm. But back then, it was an officer.
Right.
That was your coach.
That was your coach.
You know, now it's a little different. You know, it's, you know, dads and things of that nature. So you kind of lose a little sense of the community, but like I said, I think PAL is trying to piece it back together and trying to get these guys more involved.
So word has it that you're a pretty good baseball player, Henry Ford.
I did okay. I like to think I did okay.
But you almost didn't make the team.
Oh, my God. Yes.
You got to share that story with us.
Oh, man. So the my freshman year, man, Coach Ford, he had he used the VCR.
Oh, hold on. Is this the same story?
It's
the
Giants kind of like what Giants said. But then I heard his. But, you know, he left
so long, huh?
I had a great workout.
Giants said he had a great workout.
And Coach Ford just being rushed and naive. Coach Ford was rewinding the tape, and he was looking for me. And he ran into Johnny.
Johnny Christopher.
And he was like, and he left-handed? I was like, I'm sitting in the back like, no, Coach, no, I'm not left-handed. He was like, well, I want this kid to stay. And I look, and Johnny's been my best friend since after that. Because that year, I used to look at Johnny through hallways and just look at him and stare him down and say, man, you know. And he was just like, man, I want the team.
Right.
You know? But Johnny had a good career, man, throughout from his freshman year on. And I came on in my sophomore year. And I did have a good year. I had a good career.
You had some good ball
Henry
players.
Ford.
Yeah.
So I had a better junior year than my senior year. I was, like I said, I was a 2-time captain. But it was fun, man. It was fun. And I almost didn't make it, man. But I didn't let it deter me. But yeah, me and Johnny had a rough patch that first year. We had a rough patch. But that's my guy to this day.
Right.
But you find yourself, you know, after Henry Ford, you find yourself at Tennessee State. Did you play baseball at Tennessee State?
Yes, I played baseball. I had a good year, one good, decent year. But the story on that, man, is my freshman year. I needed to improve on the ACT.
We talked about that with Warner, the Prop 48 and all of that.
So I had to improve. I had to improve on that. So I didn't go to Tennessee State until the winter season.
Okay.
So I was eligible and ready to play. But when I got there, these guys definitely were top notch. And I wasn't, you know, that them 3 months, 3-4 months that I was at home, I didn't prepare for that. Mm-hmm. And so these guys was ready, man. And so my freshman year, funny story with this is that Derek Henderson, he transferred from Western Kentucky. He should have been at Tennessee State the whole time because his daddy went there. His grandfather went there. They all played baseball. So he should have been there anyway. Mm. But when he transferred, he wasn't eligible.
Wow.
Here I come in. I'm eligible.
Right.
But I'm not as good as Derek Henderson. Derek Henderson is 6'3". He's the best shortstop I've ever seen in my life. I've seen Ozzie Smith. Mm-hmm. I've seen Derek Jeter. Derek Henderson, to right now, to this day, is the best shortstop I've seen in my life.
Wow. Wow. You didn't see Warner Blakely the second? You ain't never seen him Blake? Are you sure?
I am.
His dad is sitting behind you. Are you sure?
Listen, kudos to what he's doing.
Okay.
Derek Henderson was the best shortstop I've seen in my life.
Gotcha.
So he came over to Tennessee State, but he wasn't eligible because he transferred. So he played games as Jesse Crowder. Again, I'm eligible.
But they gave him your name.
Gave you my name.
And he played.
Yes. So listen.
That was the
A's. Only at HBCU.
Only at HBCU.
Only in the 80s,
right.
So
my guy played up under your name at Tennessee State.
Yes, sir. So my job, my freshman year.
What was your job?
My job? And I was the best at it.
Right.
I went and got every foul ball that was hit.
Right.
Because, you know, HBCUs, you know, we get our balls.
Right. You got to shine.
Yeah,
right.
You got to get your balls.
So right.
Every foul ball, every game, hit, wah. So Derek Henderson playing under my name. We played the Nashville Sounds. Nashville Sounds was a Cincinnati Reds affiliate.
A ball, double A.
This was double A.
Double A.
So, you know, they giving love to the, you know, Nashville team. You know, they playing Vandy, they playing Trevecca, they playing Belmont, so they played us.
Right.
Derek Henderson had a great game.
Mm.
Great game. 4-for-4, 2 home runs, a double, grabbing every ball that was hit. Cincinnati wanted that guy that day. But they couldn't have him. Because he was Jesse Crowder. They wanted him. But he was Jesse Crowder, man.
They didn't want the Shagger.
So that was the day I realized. I was like, wow. So I was hurt. I was hurt by all this, you know, just watching this go down. You know, I'm sitting in the stands, you know, Nashville Sounds, they putting the names on the screen. You know, Jesse Crowder, batting third, number 13.
Right.
You know, showing his stats. I'm like, wow.
So when all this is happening, what are you thinking?
You in the stands, right?
I'm in the stands. I'm thinking like, you know what, life was good up until then. That day, then reality hit. Like, Jess, what's going on?
Right.
I'm out here flagging balls, and this guy, he grinded. Now, to Derek's credit, Derek was hurt. He was hurt by it. You know, Derek was a reserve guy. He was from Gary, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
He was a kind of different guy. And when I say a different guy, nothing negative on that. But he was a guy from Gary, Indiana, who his favorite artist was Prince.
Wow.
But you're from Gary, Indiana, so Michael Jackson is your guy.
supposed to be. You ain't been from Minnesota. Right.
So, and, you know, and he loved Bruce Lee, but Derek Henderson, he felt bad about everything that was going on, so he kind of held back.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we talk to this day. We laugh about it. We play as we call ourselves twins. You know, the movie DeVito and Schwarzenegger.
Sure. Yeah.
So we more like that.
Yeah.
Right. 6'3", and I'm not 6'3".
Right.
So he played back, but Coach downplayed it. He told us, and now he said, "Look, no, you can't talk to this guy. You know, his father graduated. His grandfather. He's a Tennessee State guy. He's gonna be here for 3 years." You know, and
by that time you can switch the name.
Yeah,
back.
You can put it back.
Right, so, you put it back.
So,
right.
So that year went by. You know, Derek, like I say, he played, but he wasn't himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a baller. So he balled out. You know, we're in the OVC at this time. We just second year in the OVC, Ohio Valley Conference.
Right.
Good conference, by the way.
So the second year, Second year, I come out and I'm, you know, now I'm mature. I'm playing better. I still wasn't on the level of some of these guys, but you know, I'm about to. I think I'm getting my shot.
Mm-hmm.
So we're about to play Austin. Well, first of all, I led the nation in hitting for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Led the nation. That's personally. About, this about, time it was me.
Right, right.
That's Jesse Crow.
It was Jesse Crow.
Right.
Which the athletic guy who does all the stats, you know, he came in and said, you know, we got the nation's leading hitter. The real Jesse Crow. Right. Exactly. You know, it was an ongoing joke. So that went away one weekend in Middle Tennessee. I went 0 for whatever.
Right, right.
But so we about to play Austin Peay. And our coach, you know, we're the only black school in the Ohio Valley. Yeah. Ohio mm-hmm. Valley County. And the coach comes by and I'm catching the coach. We doing infield for before the game. Hey, coach, how you doing? And you know, coach, he side eyeing these, you know, Caucasian coaches. You know, what you want? You know, he said, well, you know. Where's that kid from last year? You know, that Jesse Crowder, man. You know, he was a terror last year. Where is he at? It's like, he catching. He's like catching. You know, he was a shortstop last year. You know, I see the shortstop you got. So what the Austin Peay coach was doing was telling our coach, look, I know you messing around.
Yeah, right.
I know you messing around.
Right.
And you know, I'm not about to have none of that. So I'm about to play this day. And coach, after we finish taking infield, we get back to the dugout. Coach say, Crowder, take my stuff off. Say, what's going on, coach? Take my stuff off. You can't play today. So he put in the freshman, Isaiah Stansberry. Isaiah Stansberry, a guy from Indiana as well, but not from Gary.
He don't like Michael Jackson either.
I think he did. But Isaiah Stansberry, you know, a freshman.
Mm.
And, you know, big kid. And Isaiah Stansberry didn't know, you know, I didn't really know what was going on, but he played. Isaiah Stansberry had a great day.
Wow.
Everybody having great days except you.
Listen.
All in the name of Jesse Crow.
Hey, listen. Hey, that sealed my fate because that kid hit some balls and I was like, man, this guy, he got it.
Right.
You know? And what he didn't have, and I helped him. I got to tell you, I was a teammate. I helped him with throughout the year. His receiving as a catcher wasn't great.
Mm.
So, but he can hit. He can throw. He threw better than me. He hit for power better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, I think I had everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But that lit up coach's eyes, sealed my fate.
Right.
Sealed my fate. Mm-hmm. So I stuck around with the team. I stayed with the team. You know, through conversations with coach, you know, hey Crowder, you know, what you gonna do after this? You know, how about good? You know, what you gonna do to get to the league? Things of that nature. I was like, you know, I'm a self-aware man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, coach, I just want to be a bullpen catcher.
Right.
So what do they make?
Exactly.
I can travel with the team. I can say I'm on the team.
Get you per deal.
And I don't need no responsibilities.
Exactly.
And, you know, and then later on, like I told coach, I said, you know, I want to get into coaching and things of that nature. So he brought me along. No hard feelings with coach. Coach did what he had to do to win games. And he brought me along. He took care of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad wanted to blow up the spot. And I told dad, said, Dad, don't call nobody. Just hold on. Let me see. You know, so coach started taking me with the trips. Hey, we're going to Daytona Beach. Crowder, you coming. Don't worry about nothing. So I was like, okay, I'm coming with you. You know, but it was a good time,
wow, man.
But, you know, God bless Derek Henderson. Drafted by the Mets. Had a good minor league career.
Derek, Jesse Crowder,
Henderson. Yeah, absolutely.
Got to put that in there.
Yeah, so, and we laugh about it to this day, man.
He's
a great guy, man. It was fun times, man. But
here's the question. Here's a real question. Was he a better baseball player as Jesse Crowder, or was he a better baseball player as Derek Henderson?
When he was able to go as Derek Henderson, he opened up.
Okay.
And he was able to let loose.
He was more comfortable.
He was able to lead the lead. He was OBC and home runs, extra base hits. So another cat led the league. And on our team, led the league in home runs.
Well, you got to realize he was playing for two people.
Yeah.
his shoulder. Yeah, he had a little. And I got to take care of me.
Listen, he was stressed. I'm glad for two.
Derek was stressed, man.
Derek was stressed, but he had a good clip. Like I said, he, 2 years he led the league, and batting average and things of that nature. So you know, hats off to his career. You know, he almost got drafted by Cincinnati, man, and they wanted him, and Coach had to divert that.
I wonder how prevalent that was, you know, back then. I mean, it's, you know, no social media.
That was not like guys walking around with videotapes.
Right. You know, that sort of thing, man. That's crazy.
You could get away with it back then. You know, it was, that's how it was, man. Late 80s, early 90s.
But through Tennessee State, man, like I said, I learned a lot. I was an organizer. With the guys, you know, I was, you know, the guy, hey, we doing this RBI Nintendo tournament. So they all came to me. I organized them for football pools and things of that nature.
Let me ask you this on another note. You from the D.
From the D.
But you're not wearing the D. How did this guy's a Dallas Cowboy fan. I think Johnny Christmas said he was a Steeler guy. Now, deep down inside, I'm a Steeler guy too. But I still support Detroit Lions. I don't even know if he, these guys support Detroit Lions at all. But how'd you become a Dallas Cowboy fan?
Let me tell you. I'm going to tell you how that came about. So 1975 to 76. My brother, first of all, my brother was a homer. My brother wore Detroit Lions wool hat in July. You know, so he loved the Lions. He loved the Red Wings. He loved the Pistons. He loved the Tigers. Now, I can appreciate the Tigers because I was always taking the Tiger games. But, my I would always take my baseball cards from other whoever they was playing. So how did I become a fan? My brother was a homer, so I couldn't like who he liked. So 75, 76, in that era, I had to choose a team. My brother kind of pinned me on the wall. Like, look, you know, you can't say I like this team because I was taking everybody who was winning. You know, oh, you winning? Oh, I like them. My brother didn't want that. You're going to take a team, you're going to stick with them. So 75, 76, I'm telling you the year. I took the 76ers, I took the Boston Red Sox, and I took the Dallas Cowboys. What they have in common in that year, they all lost to Pittsburgh, Portland, and the Yankees. So I could have been those fans. I could have been a Pittsburgh, a Yankee. But I took the Cowboys, I took the Red Sox, and I took the Sixers. I was wrong on all three of them.
So basically what you're telling us is your sports career has been almost, but not quite.
Right. So it was almost, but not quite. So to this day,
you almost got drafted, but not quite.
So that's how I became those fans, man. And my brother and Steele was like, "No, you can't jump. You can't. You know, this your team. This your team."
But to be honest, you've had great years with the Cowboys. You had a good run, early '90s. You know, late run, 78, 79, Cowboys, Houston, Steelers.
The Sixers won in 80.
Sixers, Boston. They picked up the jersey, unburied it, and all of that.
4-4-4.
Right.
Just think how
it could have been.
You know, I tell people, I could have been a Steeler fan.
Oh, you could have been a Lions fan.
Well, like I said, my brother was a homer, man. And he did try for the Tigers and all that other stuff. And it was funny about that is that when he didn't make it, they said, you know what, son, you need to come back next year. Brother had a baby, couldn't come back. And he stayed a fan of all his Detroit teams, and I just couldn't do it.
Well, your brother is a guy after my own heart. I'm a fan of all the local teams, except when it comes to basketball. I'm a Laker fan.
Okay.
I'm a Laker fan because when I started watching the game, it was the Lakers and the Celtics and the Sixers who were on TV.
Yeah, those were the only teams
that you could actually see. Everybody else was on tape delay at the time. And when I watched the Lakers, it was Flash, Dash, it was Fast Break, it was Magic Johnson from from Lansing against the Boston Celtics, right? Who are led by all white guys. So I was gonna lean towards the fast
pace gang.
Brothers, absolutely. Black dudes. And not the white dudes, right? And so that's how I became a Laker fan. Yeah. I've been a Laker fan forever. But when it comes to all the rest of the Detroit teams, I'm, you know, Lions, Tigers.
Yeah.
Bless my heart. Mm-hmm. but how do you feel now? I mean, you got guys like Stephen A. Smith who give y'all hell every day on First Take.
You know, situations with Stephen A., I'll just say this. He's in a no-lose situation. You know, because unless the Cowboys go 17-0 now or 16-0 and then win the Super Bowl, he can't lose. You know what I'm saying? So you keep putting out that narrative. You're not going to lose. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, being a casino. You know, casinos don't lose. So they just keep taking your bets. They're not going to ever lose. So that's how I feel about that. But,
I just want to flip the script real quick because I know the last episode we talked about one of his kids, but this guy also has two great kids, man. And his daughter is doing big things at the University of Miami. Architecture. You know, black woman. Architecture, man. His son, Corey. If you go to a bowling alley and you think you're going to win some games, he has multiple 300 games in bowling. And you rarely hear about black men in bowling, but his son is one of the best in the metropolitan area, probably starting here in the state of Michigan.
As a basketball guy.
Started off as a basketball guy. I couldn't lean him over to baseball. And, as much as I coached the game when I came back from Tennessee State, I couldn't get him over to that. But he's a bowler.
Talk about your kids a little bit, man.
Yeah, man. Especially
your daughter, your son, and the architecture program at the University of Miami and all of that.
I'll do that. Corey is bowling tremendously, man. He's putting up numbers. You know, he's winning as far as the 300s. You know, as far as the 300s, he got me beat on 300s. You know, he got me beat.
Yeah,
because
you got a few. You got a couple. Right.
I had none.
I thought you had two.
Nah, he got the two. He got the
almost,
two.
Almost, but not quite.
I've been 11 in a row. Man. And I get to thinking about what dance I'm going to do.
Right. So
I
ended up with 290, 299.
But my son, he's doing his thing with that, man. Yeah. And my daughter, she'll be back from Rome in 2 months.
She's in Rome?
She's in Rome right now. She studied abroad this semester.
Wow.
And she comes back and she'll finish out the University of Miami. She's ready to come home. She's ready to see some snow, which is crazy to everybody who lives in Michigan. I think you know what I'm saying? I don't want to see no snow, but she's ready to come home, but she's doing well. Mm-hmm. She's doing well, and she got one more semester, man. And hats off to her. I'm trying to line her up with a few people who are in architecture in our inner city. That's that's promoting black women.
Shout out to our listeners.
If
there are any opportunities, and I know that we have some frat brothers who are
architecture.
So, you know, anybody who's looking for, you know, an up and coming black woman who's in architecture, please, you know, hit us up on all our social media, get in touch with Jess and give this woman an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, that's what I'm talking about, man. When we talk about the unsung, you know, this is an unsung brother right here. A lot of people know Jess. Jesse is more of an organizer. You know, we've been in this fantasy football league since, 2004?
That's it.
T joined about 5 or 6 years ago. He's multiple fantasy leagues. He's bringing brothers together. Women, we got some women in the fantasy league that's talking football and stuff like that. So with that being said, man, I mean, his daughter's doing the architecture thing. His son's doing the bowling thing. So we got black men out here in the city of Detroit. Hey, man, we got black fathers out here doing it.
So talk about the fantasy league. As Webb said, I got an opportunity to join the league a few years ago. Started out in the D league.
That's what we call it. Yeah, he was in the lower league.
Worked myself up to Blackstone. And enjoying it. What made you do this? I mean, how did you come about the idea of having a fantasy football league? And just talk about like the guys that are in it, and how you came about just actually doing this?
Well, first of all, to the guys that are in it, I mean, I got some well-rounded guys. When you look at it, I mean, I got guys from all sectors. You know, of course, you guys know we have senators.
Yeah,
we have union presidents. We have, you know, DT supervisors. We have guys with their own electrical companies, guys that's running companies. And, you know, it was actually by doing this, it kind of took away one of the things I wanted to do was to join a fraternity. And I should have, if I would have stayed at Tennessee State another year and a half longer, I would have. So.
No, what we say earlier about?
Almost, but not quite.
Not quite. So, but the fraternity I wanted to join was not back on the yard at the time. So I missed out on that. So what I noticed about fraternities, especially the one I wanted to join, they bring a lot of brothers together, a lot of good brothers together, and they do a lot for the community. So what I did with the Fantasy League is I started bringing guys together. So I started one league, it was 10 guys. And then I started, you know, quarterbacking with some other guys, and I brought another 10 guys together. So now I can kind of bring these 20 guys together, and maybe we can make something down the line, you know, whether it be financially gain or just bringing people together.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
And so that's what I wanted to do. But I missed out on the fraternity thing. But so this was my avenue to say, hey, let me bring some guys together and let's do this. And I brought positive guys together, brought positive family guys together.
Yeah.
And, and we all, you know, we text back and forth and we, you know, we all concerned about one another. So that's been big for me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's actually good. And you know, for me, you know, just getting into it and you know, Loaf kind of brought me in like, hey man, you know, you have played fantasy football. I really didn't know anything about it. And it gave me a reason to watch football.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like I love the game.
Yeah.
But it really brought me in to like, okay, really pay attention to what's going on. And now I can't imagine the season going by without having fantasy football.
In my defense, I mean, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, the game going, just to see, okay, I put the phone back down and check scores and stuff like that. But you really got to be astute to what's going on during the week. Is my guy going to play? He on the injury reserve. He questionable. He doubtful. So now you looking on the waiver wire. All this while, you either at work or at whatever. You because it's so competitive. You know, we got guys in our league that is just competitive. That's why we got this pink shirt. You know, you finish last, you wear the pink shirt. You got to put up all the draft picks next year when we have our draft, and you take a picture in the pink shirt and all of that. So
he was the only one that looked good in it.
Right, but here's the thing, and you sort of touched on it, is really bringing people together.
Absolutely.
You know, there's some guys that I would have never met. That are in the league that, you know, I consider my friends now.
Absolutely.
And you don't know, you know, what this is doing for people. I mean, this is almost leaving a legacy. You know, Blackstone League is going to hopefully live beyond all of us.
Maybe your son picks it up and goes.
And it's going on 19 years, 20 years.
Yeah.
Got to do a huge celebration for the 20 years.
Well, we got to start thinking about that before, about going to Vegas or something like that for the draft. Yeah. So, yeah, we definitely got to revisit that.
As long as it's not a year where I'm in a pink shirt, I'll go wherever you want to go. But this year don't look good.
It don't look good. Yeah. Almost, but not quite. But Jesse, before we get you out of here,
all right,
we got our last segment. It's the 3-1-3 segment.
Detroit.
All right.
Detroit born and raised, 3-1-3.
We thought about you with these questions, and you know, these will be near and dear to you. And I think you'll enjoy answering these. So the first three. Here's your first three. Who are the top three Dallas Cowboys of all time?
Top three. Here we got a giggler in the back.
Top three.
Top three Dallas Cowboys of all time.
My top three.
Your top three.
Your top three.
Oh my goodness. Tony Hill.
Tony Hill.
And I'm going up because every time I used to play Little League football, love Tony Hill. I wanted to run whatever route he ran.
Almost. Not quite.
Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin would be my other two, brother.
All right. The playmaker. Easy. Here's your one. And I thought about this. I'm real interested to see what he says. The moment in your life you wish you could take back.
Ooh. Is this from a sports standpoint or just period?
Period. The moment in your life you wish you could take back.
He already know. He's sitting back there looking like...
Okay, well, no. Actually, that's easy. That's easy. And I'll keep it sports related.
Okay.
The day I decided not to go back to Tennessee State.
Wow.
Yeah. I regret that decision. That's my second biggest regret. And I only have two. And that would have coincided with being able to enjoy the fraternity I wanted to join if I would have went back. But
they had IOTAs at Tennessee State?
Almost, but not quite.
So, yeah.
No, I'm joking.
leave the Tennessee State. Okay. That was my biggest, that's the biggest one.
Now, I heard it through the grapevine that you're a big-time video game guy. Mm. I heard that. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you know, it's really impacted your life in a major way. So the three best sports video games of all time, your three best.
My best three. Okay. Nintendo's RBI. Mm-hmm. By far was the top of the line for me.
Right. And why? Real quick.
It was competitive. It nearly put me out of school.
You was addicted.
Oh man, my nose was open to that. So Nintendo RBI, man.
These kids today don't know what that is.
They don't.
They have no idea.
I'm a Madden guy. You know, I love Madden. You pick a year. I loved it. And Centipede was the other man, you know. So
yeah, I'm the top Centipede. For me. Centipede was not, you know.
Although it's not a sports.
It's not a sport, but yeah, it's a video game.
Right. Almost.
It's but almost not quite.
It was a video game, but those were my three, man. But that's where we was at.
Jesse Crowder.
Hung this out with amazing. The Broncos bros.
Man, thank
Let's
you.
Let's toast it up.
Man.
Appreciate you coming by, my brother. Where can the people find you on social media?
Man, Jesse Crowder on Facebook. I keep it simple. That's where I'm at. You know, if everybody want to find me. My daughter has multiple socials. I'll get all that. But if you contact me, if you got any avenues for architecture through her, you know, she's looking to do some big things. And hopefully she pledges AKA soon.
Right. Fantastic.
Okay.
So hopefully fantastic. Hey, so another episode of the Brown Couch Bros. Tune in to the Brown Couch Bros. We drop a new episode every Monday. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts. We have selected shows that are on YouTube, so you can get a visual of the honcho and the loaf. And listen, we are out of here.
OWT out. 3-1. Let me say that again. 3-2-1. OWT out.
Another episode of Brown Cops Bros. Thank you for tuning in.